This is a True Crime Today Hidden Killers Investigation Special, the murder of Dr. John Forsythe. Tony Brewski shares a raw, unfiltered conversation with John's brother, Richard Forsythe, as a family seeks justice.
How involved have the police been with you, just sitting down talking and trying to get information? Are they, you know, talking to everybody in the family, trying to get anything they can possibly go on? I mean, how deep are they going in the investigation? Do you feel like they're giving it the effort that it needs for just how bizarre this thing is? And I would imagine the manpower that would be needed to dig into this.
I have little to no insight into the criminal investigation, and I think that's probably as it should be. They are not very forthcoming, as they should be.
Sure.
My interactions with them have been puzzling. I can say that according to my siblings, and I have five sisters, They have not spoken to any of them. The police have communicated to the family that they favor an assisted suicide story. They believe that he hired someone to kill him to effect a false narrative of, you know, mysterious murder and martyrdom potentially. I don't really know why they believe that. I think maybe it's just sort of, in the case of criminal investigations, you results matter, public confidence in the system matters. And so what you tend to find is that you look for theories, and then having found one, you look for facts to support those theories. I mean, I know that's sort of the opposite of good detective work, but it also delivers, at least as far as the public is concerned, results, at least, you know, the perception of results. And so seems to me like maybe they found a theory that they can find facts for. And so, but again, I have no insights into the criminal investigation. I really don't know what they know, what they actually think. Anything they tell me may be just a game that they're playing to try to get to the bottom of this. And I certainly hope that they do. And I hope that they are honest and in earnest with their investigation. But their interactions with me, you know, they've interviewed me several times, but none of my sisters. If they favor a suicide theory, I'd like to know why they're not interviewing my sisters. Why would they not want to find out from them what his state of mind was, what their opinion was of his state of mind? I mean, that seems to me to be immediately relevant to a potential suicide narrative, right?
Was your brother in contact with your sisters on a regular basis, talking about life in general and, you know, emotions, that sort of things?
Absolutely, he was. Especially several of my sisters, my eldest sister and my sister Amanda, who's in the medical field as well. He confided in them a lot. In fact, he had conversations with them, come to find out after his death. He said things to them that I didn't know. So he did bring them into his confidence. And them not being interviewed is very strange. I'd like to say that about my brother's state of mind, what I know, and I'm not an expert on his state of mind. I'm the closest of my family to him, and so I have insights. But
sure.
I'm being reminded constantly that yes, I don't know everything that was in his heart and in his mind, and fair enough. But I feel like my view of him is very important, very relevant to this case. And I will say that he was the happiest I've ever seen him. Mm-hmm. He was overflowing with joy and anticipation and optimism. And, you know, I've just recently come to find out that he was preparing to transfer his job to Springfield, Missouri, to work with his fiancée, who's also in the medical field. He and I had just hired a guy, a DevOps guy for Onfo to help bring us forward. We had very elaborate plans for what he was going to do and where Onfo was going to go in the near future. He and I had investment plans together. We were going to commence in January and February. He and I had a building that we were renovating together, a big insurance claim. And man, we had been dreaming about renovating this building for the longest time. And he had been taking me on tours. He had taken me on tours before his death of this building and described in very excited terms the different things we're going to do with this building. The amount of money we were going to spend was a lot of money, and it was going to be just an absolute jewel for the town. It was going to revitalize the downtown commerce. Again, he just proposed to his girlfriend, who he described as the love of his life, someone who made him very happy. They were going to have a child together. He was excited about having this kid together. And on the guy, he was so optimistic. He had so many plans. So all of this stacked up against, you know, yes, he had troubles. He had a divorce decree, $19,000 per month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that divorce was troubling for him. And that's it. That's the one thing people bring up. They're like, well, maybe he just didn't want to pay child support and alimony. Look, he didn't even contest it. He was fine with it. He had been paying a previous amount, 15 grand a month for years and years, never missed a payment, had no problem with it. He was making tons of money as a doctor and as an investor.
Yeah.
He was a very wealthy guy.
Yeah.
And I'm told by many people far wealthier than I thought. Funny thing. I don't really know how wealthy he was. And that's an odd thing to be able to say, but you know, as a brother, even a close brother, you don't just say, "Hey, how much money you got, bro?" It's crass. It's stupid. It's disrespectful. I would never do that.
Sure.
And he would probably just look at me askance if I did.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing that anyone has been able to come up with, that and text messages in which he described going through a tough time, you know, I think going through two divorces, going through some health challenges on his own part was hard, but there was never any indication to me or to any of my siblings who I've talked to that he was suicidal, depressed, that he was ready to give up. He is on record as having acquired some ketamine, and his stated reason was depression.
Uh-huh.
According to his fiance, he made all that up to supplement the DMT he was planning to get. He was happy. He was cheerful. He pretended to be depressed to get some ketamine because ketamine enhances a DMT trip.
Sure.
And he was determined to get to the bottom of that quantum math issue about RSA security. So as far as I can tell, as far as I see, and I don't have all the data, I don't have all the evidence, but as far as I can tell, this is not a guy who had any reason to give up or to arrange an elaborate deceptive death like has been proposed. Quite the opposite. This was a guy who was very excited about the future and who had supreme, bordering on arrogance, confidence that he could overcome any obstacle and that he was going to soon. This guy, I've been through so many challenges with him, so many just awful things. And he just, his confidence, his brilliance, his confidence in his own brilliance was bordering on, you know, arrogant. And so I'm meant to believe this guy just in the midst of, you know, the upswing of his life decided to hire some killers and fake some elaborate martyr death. It's just, look, if that is the truth, and it'll have to be proven if that's the truth, but if that's the truth, then it's the truth. And this world is a lot stranger than I thought. And it was already pretty damn strange.
That idea is very bizarre in itself. I mean, one would assume that with everything that was going on, that law enforcement would be combing through, investigators would be combing through financial records. I would assume that they would be combing through, and I would assume they would have been some sort of contact with the individual that you mentioned, that the name is being left obviously anonymous, to question that person. I mean, are you aware at all of if they're going down those roads and contacting those people, or is it sitting there as we want to just kind of leave it as this, you know, maybe suicide thing?
I know that the witness to the kidnapping account has been questioned.
Mm-hmm.
And was treated with a fair amount of hostility. And so that individual acquired counsel, and the communication between police and this individual have not been great.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate. But I don't know. I don't know what transpired between them. I don't know what the police's view of things are. I want to say that I have no reason to believe that the police have bad intentions or are dishonest in any way. I fully support this investigation. All I want is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I have cooperated with the police from day one and will continue to do so. I have no other priority besides getting to the bottom of this, getting to the truth of this investigation. And I want the police to succeed. I don't want there to be doubt on the police for this investigation. I don't want people to criticize them. I want people to help them.
Sure.
If this investigation takes a turn, some sinister turn where false evidence is presented or false allegations are made, then that'll be a different dynamic. But for now, as far as I can tell, they're just trying to do their job. And so I wish them Godspeed.
There's more to come in this True Crime Today Hidden Killers Investigation Special, The Murder of Dr. John Forsythe. Press subscribe so you don't miss any part of Tony's raw and open conversation with John's brother, Richard Forsythe, exclusively on the Hidden Killers podcast.